Welcome to Uncharted Living. We're your hosts, Christine, Rebecca, and Ty. We are life coaches who are committed to the road less traveled. Join us each week for thought-provoking and entertaining conversations, all designed to help you create your own map. Uncharted Living. It's just the beginning. Don't be afraid to get life started. Jump off the map. Welcome, fellow humans. One of the goals of our podcast is to shine light on topics that have been associated with stigma and shame and to normalize conversations to not only bring awareness, but to point towards healing. This week is no different. Today, we are discussing period poverty, a term that many of our listeners may never have heard before. The World Bank estimates that on any given day, over 300 million women are menstruating, literally every day. Women face hardships with access to safe, affordable, and hygienic products, as well as cultural taboos and discrimination related to menstruation. Given that the average woman menstruates 450 times in her lifetime for an average of 3,500 days, it is astonishing that there is still a stigma associated with this topic. Today, we are talking with Wendy Schweikart, the founder of the nonprofit Project Maryland, an award-winning nonprofit that was inspired by the desire for every individual to have dignity with their period, especially in the homeless community. Welcome, Wendy, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So to start us off, Wendy, can you just tell us what period poverty is?
Sure. So period poverty is essentially combined of three things. It is the lack of access to period supplies, it's the lack of access to proper hygiene facilities, and also the lack of access to education surrounding menstruation.
So when you say that lack of access, do you mean anybody who maybe doesn't have parents? I'm imagining parents being that access for myself, putting myself in this position. What other kind of communities are lacking that access?
Right. So our houseless community, houseless community, our kids in foster care, students at school, really anyone who does not have, it can be anything. It can be money. It can be transportation. It can be stigma, anything that's preventing you from having that access. And so that really fits into a bunch of different communities.
Yeah. Can you give us a little background on Project Maryland and what you do, boots on the ground? For everyone at home, Maryland's based out of Las Vegas. So give us kind of an overview of what you do on a day-to-day basis.
I would love to. I would love to talk about Project Maryland.
We want to hear.
Yes. So I founded Project Maryland in April of 2019 after I was reading an article in People magazine about period poverty. And I thought, as a grown woman, I have never considered what does a houseless person do when they get their period. And the results are pretty tragic. Using everything, you're not supposed to use, socks, paper towels, straws with cotton inside, stealing products, using products that are meant for your period, but using them for too long, causing infections. You also have not only the health aspect, but you have the dignity aspect. How can one hold their head high at a job interview, at work, at school, when they have a wad of Starbucks napkins stuffed in their underwear? Perfectly honest. Mm-hmm. And it's just, so I read that and, everyone is very concerned with, including myself, very concerned with school supplies. Everyone has a school supply drive. We have a food drive and all of those things are super important. But the reality is if you have your new school supplies and your clothes and you're headed out to that day of school or you're headed out to, your first day of work and you get your period, and guess what? You don't have a pad because you can't afford one. Then you're not going to school or work. Yeah. Or like I said, you are going, but you're not feeling good about yourself because you've had to have some makeshift situation, to support your period. So I founded Project Maryland. Maryland was my mom. We lost her to cancer in 2011. And, you know, periods were not her thing, but she was, you know, an amazing human. And our logo is her 1950s glamour shot, as I call it. And that's actually the Marilyn is actually her signature that we kept off her driver's license. So when she passed away, she shared with me that she had never made an impact on the world. She felt, you know, she had lived a life of obligation instead of inspiration. And I think a lot of women feel that way, especially women of her generation. And so we just dedicate our mission of giving women dignity back to her. And so, yeah, what we do briefly is we make a period kit. Each kit is intended to have enough supplies to last a person's entire cycle. Obviously, that's a moving target. Everyone's period's different. But I just formulated the contents off the FDA's average cycle is 5 days, change your product every 6 to 8 hours. We make two different types of kits. One has tampons, pads, liners, and wipes. The other for our friends who don't use tampons, because I've definitely found out by trial and error, when you don't use a tampon, you emphatically do not use a tampon. So a lot of those products were going to waste. So we also make a kit that has pads only, liners and wipes. And then our main mission is to distribute those to other nonprofits in Southern Nevada that serve people with periods.
Oh.
Because the reality is that the clients we're serving generally have transportation issues. And so they're definitely not going to figure out a way to get to us just for period supplies. Because like I said, as women, we put ourselves last. We have our last $10. We're going to buy milk. We're going to buy something for our children. And then we're going to make do, you know, for ourselves. So if we can have these products in agencies that are already serving people with periods, then it just makes so much more sense because they can get. So locally, we serve Baby's Bounty. They give diapers. So then when the moms come for diapers, they can also get period supplies for themselves, their 12-year-old daughter at home. We work with some food banks. We work with our local police department. So yeah, if we can get in where these clients are already getting services, because you'll figure out a way to get diapers, you'll figure out a way to get food, and the period supplies will come last. So if we can be there where they already are, then that's the best model to serve that client.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You're not reinventing the route or the wheel. You're allowing them to be available where people are already present, which is amazing.
Yeah, it seems to work out the best so far. So far, so good, right?
Yeah.
this whole thing is trial by error. So we're working it out one step at a time.
Wendy, how were you able to make those connections? Because I was looking at your website and you have so many partnerships. I was kind of blown away, to be honest. And I think it's so important to communicate and within nonprofit, you know, service-based organizations, how were you able to do that?
I talk a lot.
Good.
No, I mean, truthfully, you know, not to get too in the weeds, but I grew up here in Las Vegas and I've always been, you know, in my day life, my husband's a general contractor. And so I'm supposed to be doing business development for our construction company. Shout out to NDL Group. They give us a lot of donations and donate us a space. So I definitely have those relationships built, a lot of relationships built in with our community. And so when I started this, I reached out to some of those same people and said, you know, can you support us, you know, Project Marilyn and this mission? And truthfully, you know, there's just, right, we should have collaboration over competition, but with what we do and the way we do it here in Southern Nevada, I'd venture to say we're one of the only ones providing this resource.
Wow.
And all of these client, all of these amazing nonprofits who are working with, you know, different facets of the community, whether it's foster care or sex trafficking or, you know, homeless shelters, or, you know, they're all serving people with periods. They all need these supplies.
Right.
So this is definitely a baseline of a need that these other agencies have been so welcoming. When I say, can we serve your clients? We're not trying to do what you're doing. We're just trying to do one small piece of the amazing services you're already providing. Can we just help, you know, with this one piece? You know, for example, we work with St. Jude's Ranch for Children and they're having a camp where the siblings can go together for the summer. So I called and said, can we give a period kit for the kids that need them for the camp, because you need period supplies at camp, right?
Yeah.
And the director was so, oh my gosh, I didn't, yes, you know, we have some stuff, but it's not discreet and it's not packaged. And so, you know, how can we appeal to those younger people to not be embarrassed to ask, you know, for those items? So now we're going to give, you know, the period supply kits for the kids at camp that need them. So it just really is, I think it's just a piece that, because I do talk so much and I am passionate about it and I do reach out to everyone. And yeah, people have been really receptive to allowing us to serve their clients. So that's been amazing.
Well, you highlight a great point of like someone who hadn't considered it before. And I would put myself in that category, right? Where like, there's just, we don't hear about this. So what, from your perspective, why is that? And what can we do about that besides talking about it more?
Right. Well, you hit it on the head. I mean, talk about it all the time. I know whenever I'm on the news, they say, what's your hope? I said, my hope is that I can come into your living room at your breakfast table and say the word period and you don't fall over dead in your Cheerios, right?
Yeah.
It is definitely a stigma that... Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, I'm not the expert on any of this, but my definite thought is when did it turn from a time of celebration and renewal and beauty and rest into this gross, bloody, stigmatized, icky thing? Obviously there was a point in time that it happened and I'm not knowledgeable enough on the subject to know when that was, but there was a point, you know, where periods and menstruation, it was a celebration and a blessing and a whole different outlook. But people still, you know, especially I hate to say it, men, we do have a lot of great male supporters who value the mission and understand, but I think the stigma still is the low hanging fruit is to go to that joke, right? To go to that,
right.
You know, oh, you know, if you stop talking, I'll make you a donation, or, you know, I didn't need a tampon last time I looked, you know, kind of thing. And it's just,
whoa.
So irritating. But what I try to disarm them by saying, you know, look, you know, take the ick factor out of it, you know, which I'm sure we'll get into later. But, you know, the statistic is 1 in 4 girls are missing school every month because they don't have period supplies. So do you have a daughter? Do you know a younger person? You know, can you just even imagine if a girl has to miss school for the length of her period every single month? What does that do to her future? What does it do to her education? What does it do to her potential to possibly be your employee or benefit your business or benefit, you know, your life, you know? And so we really just need to remove the icky factor of periods. And it happens. It happens, like you said, to, you know, more than half the population every single month. So it's a real thing.
And that statistic is just the U.S., right? 1 in 4.
Right. That's a United States statistic. And, you know, and that's the problem, too, is I think people don't realize it's happening in the United States.
Right.
You know, we're not that's in third world countries. Right. And yes. And in other countries, you know, they do have it worse. Right. They are not only don't have access, but, you know, the stigma is much worse. And, you know, you just hear horrible stories of what women are reduced to doing because not only do they not have access, but they have to hide the fact that they're even having a period. So, you know, what does that add to the stress of trying to manage your period in a healthy way?
Wow.
But yeah, it's, you know, the statistic is 2 in 5 women, 2 in 5 people with periods can't afford period supplies every year due to lack of income. And 1 in 4 girls are missing school every month.
Wow.
So it's just, it's a problem, you know, and, you know, like you said, the more we talk about it, like the opportunities on this podcast and, you know, just in your daily life that, you know, only then are we going to be able to really move that needle.
Yeah. Well, it seems like it would contribute to even more emotional and mental health issues. The lack of access, the shame associated with it. And you were talking about people who are, you know, going to food banks or needing to get supplies for their babies because they can't afford it. So there's already, I would imagine, a sense of shame, a sense of embarrassment, and then to have this on top of it. And it's something that you know is going to happen literally every single month, unless you're pregnant at the time or some other medical reason. But I love that you're talking about it and I love that you are combining the access with food banks, with things so that you're not having to have to go another place or do something else in order to deal with this. I think that's wonderful. So I think, should we be thinking that when we're donating food to food banks, we should be gathering up period supplies as well, as a matter of course?
Absolutely. Yes, no, absolutely. I would definitely just put that on the radar. You know, if you're getting, you know, I try to say once a month, when you grab your box, grab a box for us, grab a box for, you know, a shelter, grab, you know, cause they really are the least donated supplies, for obviously all the reasons we're talking about now, you know, stigma, people don't realize, who doesn't have a tampon? What do you mean you don't have a tampon? You know, it's like, no, people don't, they don't have that. They don't have those supplies. And I think another reason too, is cause as women we make do, right? We make it happen and we shouldn't have to suffer our dignity for something that is natural. I mean, people, you know, when you go into a public restroom, toilet paper is provided, paper towels, soap. Nobody ever asked you to carry a roll of toilet paper in your purse, right? Because going to the bathroom, like everyone does it, right? But for some reason, period supplies are considered a luxury, not a necessity. And so, you know, you walk in that bathroom and you've got that stupid machine for a quarter. And I'm sorry, I have money. I can pay for it, but I never have a quarter, right? Like, not like the day when I was a kid and you carried a penny for a phone or dime for a phone call, right? Like, nobody has changed.
No, you have to rely on that. You have to rely on the kindness of strangers in the bathroom. I mean, I'm sure all of us have been in a public bathroom and been like, oh shoot. And at that point you can't kind of come out and deal with the machine that where you don't have a quarter or it doesn't work or it's empty or whatever. It's always, at least for me, the kindness of strangers. So I love that you're taking that on such a larger level. You are truly doing kindness of strangers on a much broader level. And I love that.
And you're right, Wendy, when you say there's no stigma around a food bank. For me, thinking about it, when my kids have, you know, donate backpacks and there's a list of backpack supplies, I don't ever see pads or tampons. When the holidays come around or Thanksgiving comes around, and again, they're doing a canned food, now I want myself and our Uncharted Living Hulk family just to throw in boxes of tampons and pads, even if they don't ask for it, right? That's one actionable thing we can do.
Right. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, but, you know, I would say in the more than not, people need them. And, you know, even if it's not their specific mission to give those items, I guarantee they have someone in their clientele that needs those items.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, so definitely, I think, you know, I'm sure if you go to the Alliance for Period Supplies website, we are a allied partner of the Alliance for Period Supplies. And they have a map of the country. So wherever your listeners are listening, they can find a period bank in their neighborhood, or close to where they are, so they can support, you know, locally. I would say in the broad term, just to, like you said, if you're doing a backpack drive, if you're doing a school supply drive, I mean, this summer we are actually supporting communities and schools here in Southern Nevada, and we're piggybacking on their Fill the Bus campaign with a Pad the Bus campaign. Wow. So we're going to roll up to their Fill the Bus with, I'm hoping, 100,000 maxi pads so that we can fill their bus. And, because we do say period supplies are school supplies, because it's really true. If you don't have, like I said, if you don't have a something, you're not going to school. So just really try to encourage communities to consider that when they're donating.
I love that.
I was reading in preparation for this that even it wasn't until 5 years ago that federal prisons provided free period products.
What? Like,
until 2018, people who were in federal prison had to buy their period products, which is like, my mind blew a little bit, but I think what you're highlighting so beautifully and what that even goes to show is that it's such an afterthought. It's such a, like, this thing that happens routinely, you can pretty much plan on it for a certain, you know, period of years. It's like, it's just such an afterthought for people who are making decisions that really impact people's daily lives. And that impact has ripple effects. It's what you're highlighting, Wendy, so beautifully, is like their education, their confidence, their ability to be present and at the table for, you know, learning opportunities, work opportunities. It really has quite a long ripple effect. And so we're talking about, you know, thinking outside the box and doing things. This is something very tangible that we can do that has such a profound impact on people's experiences. It should be available.
Right. Yeah. No, and you're right. I mean, it isn't just school and work. It's going to the movies with your friends. It's being able to attend a party. It's being able to just be included in your community for that week every month, you know, instead of having to sit at home. Or like I said, you know, and like Christine said, you know, you go to the bathroom, you're like, uh-oh, you know, but we all normally, you know, you make do with toilet paper or whatever, but you have somewhere else to go normally and buy or go home and get one, you know, get a product. But, you know, if that toilet paper in the bathroom was your last stop, you know, how would that feel? And I just think we don't, like I said, we just all don't really think about it. You just don't think about that. You just take it for granted that people have these supplies. But, you know, they're not, you can't use any sort of federal assistance to buy these supplies. You can't use SNAP or EBT or Medicaid. Well, yeah, they're classified as luxury items.
Wait, tell me more about that, Wendy. More words.
Right. Again, I'm not, you know, not the expert, not the authority, but these items are classified as luxury items. So you can't use any sort of federal assistance, like I said, Medicaid, SNAP, EBT funds to purchase them. So here in the state of Nevada, one of our senators did introduce a bill, to have them included. There's a couple different trains of thought on that. Again, I just want to keep reiterating that I am not the expert, you know, so if anything I'm saying you feel is incorrect, please investigate it yourself. But, the trains of thought are, you know, that those programs were created really for food. So if you add more products that are eligible without increasing the funding, you're putting people in a really tricky spot. But I just feel, and, you know, women have been told what to do with their bodies for too long and with their, you know, what choices they can make. So if you want to use your funds to buy tampons one month, and if you want to use your funds to buy a rump roast that month, then you should have the latitude to make those decisions for yourself, because, you know, some needs are different, you know, every single month. So that's my opinion only. And, it is a reality of kind of what we're dealing with. And I don't want to necessarily be, you know, this bra burning, you know, feminist kind of position here, but certain things just need to change, because we need to be able to make choices about how to manage our bodies, especially when it comes to what we're purchasing with funds that are given to us for living. Right. I mean,
choice is such a huge factor in all of this. Absolutely. Yeah.
I know you said, and you're expert enough. It's fine. Is toilet paper eligible for SNAP and Medicaid and period products aren't? That seems absurd.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure about the toilet paper. I do believe diapers are not covered as well.
Wow.
Like I said, you know, please fact check me, please, on those things. But yeah, I think certain things are, it's just silly that certain things are considered not a necessity.
Yeah.
Like I said, period supplies are not a luxury. I know that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I definitely don't feel luxurious buying those things.
No, exactly.
This is a basic need.
Right.
But we're also talking, I mean, tell me where you agree or disagree, Wendy, because when I think about using period supplies, I think about a basic quality of living for those days. So that means I'm not bleeding out my pants and I don't have to, I'm ruining a pair of pants. I'm not bleeding in front of clients so I can see my clients and not be doing that. I'm not bleeding through my mattress so I don't have to throw that mattress away, because when I'm thinking about people who are in the position of not being able to afford these things, there's then a ripple effect, right? Because I mean, raise your hand if you've ever had to throw away a pair of pants or underwear. I mean, me, you know, because those things cost money too. So I'm thinking of this whole ripple effect. I mean, don't even get me started with the mattress and the, it gets messy.
Right. No, literally, figuratively, all the things. Yeah.
All the things.
No, I completely agree with you. And that's why, as much as I, you know, always say, right, food is important, obviously, school supplies are important, obviously, you know, all of these things that people feel so passionate about, books and, you know, and all of these things that people are like, yes, yes. And then you say, well, what about pads? And they're like, ew, you know, but it really is, it is that starting point of, like you said, especially for that week, let's just call it, of your life, that if you don't have this, then all the rest kind of doesn't matter.
Right.
And if you are of the point of view that, you know, you can shove toilet paper will do, it's fine. Okay, let's entertain that. Toilet paper is fine. It'll soak up the blood. Okay, it's fine. But your dignity now is suffering, right?
Yeah.
Because now, especially in Las Vegas in the summer, it's hot. It's hot here and it's icky and
it's not fine.
It's actually not. I just always try to break it down into the health and the dignity, right? It's two things. And if you don't believe in one, then I would hope you'd believe in the other, right? Like something there's got to appeal to you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Can I mention, we talked a lot about just being able to talk about it, and we're four women here speaking about it. But Wendy, you had mentioned that you have a son. Ty has a son. I have sons. I know Ty had her son buy tampons, and I've talked to my kids early on, and I know that they were shocked when they were like, wait, it happens every month? I thought it just happened one time and then you were done. I was like, no, every month for like decades. But is it important? I would feel like it's important to have our sons and the young boys of this generation be a lot more confident and comfortable talking about it and take the stigma out, so that as women, we can talk about it freely, but actually getting the men involved and having the boys involved so that they understand the importance of it and then to raise awareness. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, in the state of Nevada, well, Clark County specifically, we still have the growth and development class in the fifth grade, and and as far as I know, split up still the boys and the girls to talk about, you know, the two different things. And I just always say, you know, we have volunteers come in and the parents say, can I bring my kids? And, you know, it's just, yes, like there's age appropriate language to discuss anything. Right. And so my son, who's 11, when he was younger, we were handing some stuff out, and this little girl said, what's this for? He said, oh, it's for your period. She said, what's that? He goes, I'm not really sure. She's not really sure. And then we were driving and I had an OB tampon, you know, that doesn't have the applicator. And so he goes, what is this? I said, oh, it's a tampon. And he goes, ew, right? Because I think that's what he thinks he's supposed to say. I think a lot of this is that natural, how they're supposed to react. And I said, well, it doesn't even have blood on it. What's gross about it? And he throws it down. Why would it have blood on it? Right. And then I realize maybe we need to have a further conversation about, you know, what actually a period actually is.
Right.
But no, I think, I just think, like I said, that low-hanging fruit of that joke that men feel they have to say something sarcastic, you know, I hate to bring it up, but the Tiger Woods tampon thing with the right. And I like, I'm not really that woman. Right. I can take a joke, that's fine, but like, where's the joke? What was the joke? Right. He played like a girl, that he got a vagina. Like, what's funny about that? I'm missing that. And I know I really try to like stay on the side of like, I can take a joke with the best of them. My mind lives in the gutter 99% of the time. However, those are the things we need to stop, right? We need to stop saying because you hit a bad shot. Now you're a girl, right? And then there's something lesser about that, right? So,
And here's your luxury gift.
And here's your luxury prize, right? Exactly. We just need to make certain things like periods just, it's normal. It's just normal. And if your girlfriend gets her period, like you said, in your bed, like right on your sheets, like we're not going to throw a fit and embarrass her and, you know, throw the sheets out and make a whole thing about it. But I will say a lot, I say, you know, I'm joking about men and saying these things, but we do have a lot of great male supporters that come in, they pack our bags with us, they go on outreach, they hand them out. They're super happy to help the women in their lives and in our community, you know, have a healthy and dignified period. And they do want to help and they do want to learn and they do want to understand. But yeah, I think the more we talk to our sons in an age appropriate language for them, then I think that that's where we, you know, that's where the taboos stop.
Yeah.
And our coworkers and our uncles and our brothers and our fathers.
Yeah. Right. We're not going to walk to the bathroom with a tampon tucked up our sleeve anymore.
Right.
After this podcast, listeners are going to walk proudly with their tampon to the bathroom, right?
Waving it around.
Right? They're going to be on a mission. Go to the bathroom and not be embarrassed.
Well, I love this so much. Okay, the other thing I'm thinking about is like, what are ways we can make this more sustainable, right? Like I'm thinking of like the Diva Cup situation. But what you highlighted so beautifully earlier was like access to sanitation, right? So if you're someone who doesn't have access to water or soap or all these things, like those are not going to be an option for you, a safe option for you. Those are going to come with more health concerns, right? So it's, I don't know where I'm going with this.
Right. We do have a lot of very kind donors and supporters that say, if you just gave a cup, if you just gave a period underwear, then it would be solved. And, you know,
like laundry.
Right. And a lot of them also, well, the park bathroom, I'm like, when was the last time you were in a park bathroom? Right. Again, speaking to the hygiene, but also speaking to the dignity. You don't want a child to walk in while you're washing your bloody underwear in the park bathroom. How mortifying.
Yeah.
Right. So I do say to that, like I said earlier, we don't have a direct service model at this point. But if we were to the point where we were handing out directly to our clients, then yes, I would want to offer reusable products, because then they can make the decision. If they do live in a place, you know, where they have proper hygiene facilities and they would like to use a cup or period underwear, then yes, that would be better. It would be more sustainable.
It could be an option.
It could be an option, right? Because when I founded Project Marilyn, it was for what I perceived to be the truly houseless person on the street with nothing, right? But it turns out that because this is such a stigmatized, taboo thing that we put ourselves last on, that it's just me and you. It's us. It's our last $10, that paycheck. So we're just going to buy gas and milk, and then we're going to shove toilet paper in our underwear and we're going to move on. So this is really a cause for everyone, that everyone could potentially need, maybe just 1 month. Maybe it's just the 1 month you really need some help. It's not necessarily, you know, every month always you need it, but we can't judge.
Right. Absolutely. We're going to link in our show notes to the Alliance for Period Supplies so that folks at home can figure out where to get involved locally. We're also going to link to all of your, you know, your website, Project Maryland, your Instagram, your Facebook. Folks, if you want to be part of this conversation, please connect with Wendy there. Wendy, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to leave our listeners with as a final thought?
Well, I would welcome all your listeners to join our period posse. That's what I call all of our people who are involved. Become part of our period posse. We need you. And like I said, selfishly, I would love all of your listeners to support us and follow us on social media. But if there is obviously a chapter of a period bank, a poverty period poverty charity in your neighborhood, please reach out to them. Please see the best way you can support. And that is to everyone has in their head the best way they think to support, right? And I think that goes across all nonprofits. But if I can encourage one thing, it would be reach out to the agency organization you're looking to support and ask them what their needs are. You know, most of us, I'm guessing, are going to say funds, because usually our purchasing power is greater than yours, right? Because for example, I just purchased 6 pallets of pads at 3 cents a pad because I was able to buy 6 pallets. Wow. Where your retail pad is running about 17 cents a pad right now. That's right. For like a brand name pad. Obviously, there's a bunch of different, you know, products in between. But, you know, sometimes we'll get like Dude wipes. I'm like, why did you give us Dude wipes? You know, like, are you missing what we're really doing here, right? But a kind soul had a bunch of Dude wipes and needed to get rid of them. So I would just really encourage everyone who's looking to help any nonprofit, not even just a period charity, to ask them directly how you can help them the best, because then you're really helping, right? Because we all need to keep our egos out of it and help the clients and help the community the way they really need it, not the way we think it should be done.
I love that. Thank you, Wendy, so much. And for everyone at home, projectmaryland.com, you can go and donate directly there. So if you're not in the Las Vegas facility, it's okay. You can donate directly. You know, now these funds are going to go into really great hands and are going to be serving the people that we want to be helping. So thank you so much, Wendy. We're so excited to talk to you. Thanks for having a conversation about periods with us. We want to have more, and we will have more eventually on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Wendy.
Thank you so much for spending another week with us. Follow us at Uncharted Living Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. And please like and share this episode with your favorite fellow human. Uncharted.